KQED.
It's Morning Edition on KQED. I'm Brian Watt. From all we've heard, what's coming next week is not your run-of-the-mill total eclipse. It will be the first time in a century that a total eclipse will cross the U.S. from coast to coast. George Friedrich Handel wrote Total Eclipse in 1741 to explore life without light. It's just one example of creative work inspired by that rare, stunning moment when the moon blocks out the light of the sun. Eclipses also inspire the creativity of scientists, as KQED's Danielle Venton explains.
The wait between total solar eclipses, if you stay in one spot, is usually very long, around 400 years. But if you're willing to go anywhere on the planet, the wait is around 18 months. And if you're a scientist studying the sun, chances are you're happy to travel just about anywhere.
Asking what we're doing, seeing another eclipse, is like asking a cardiologist who looked at somebody's heart for 2 minutes a year and a half ago, does he want to look at another patient?
Jay Pasikoff chairs the International Astronomical Union's Working Group on Solar Eclipses. During a total eclipse, the moon gets between us and the sun, like an umbrella. Blue sky turns dark.
And we can look through that now darkened sky to see what's behind it.
In that darkened sky is the sun's atmosphere, the corona, a silvery, waving halo of hot, constantly changing gas.
Every time we look, there's something different.
Big storms in the corona, sort of burps of fiery plasma from the sun, can damage satellites, harm astronauts, and disrupt power grids. The more scientists know about the corona, the better they can predict these big storms. And the only time researchers can see all of the corona really well is during a total eclipse.
It's amazing that the moon, at this moment in our history, the moon is almost exactly the same size as the sun, apparently. And so it exactly blocks the disk of the sun.
Alan Gould of the Lawrence Berkeley Hall of Science. The sun is 400 times larger than the moon, but it's 400 times farther away from us, so it looks the same size in the sky. Millions of years ago, the moon was closer and covered up more of the sun. In the distant future, it'll be farther and too small to see total eclipses.
We are living in such a fortunate time in that regard, so we get to see the entire corona in its glory.
That's why astronomers are traveling from all over the world to see the eclipse on August 21st. And some of them will be studying one of the biggest mysteries about the sun.
Okay, so the sun is about like 10 million degrees at the center.
The surface is a lot cooler, and it would make sense for the corona streaming off of the surface to be cooler still. But it's not. It's a lot hotter.
There are theories about why that is, but that's really not known.
It's not for lack of trying. Jay Pasikoff puts it this way.
I like to joke that the problem has been solved. It's been solved by 12 different people in 12 different ways. In other words, we don't have a solution.
One of the people working toward a solution on the day of the eclipse will be University of Hawaii astronomer Shadia Habal. She says this is a very special eclipse.
Usually most of eclipse paths cover a lot of ocean or they go over islands. This one is like 3,000 miles of solid land.
Habal will oversee 5 observation sites across the country, so if one place is cloudy, they will have other chances to see the corona. And if you want to be part of scientific history, too, you can.
We're making a film from thousands of pictures taken by citizen scientists, and we need your help.
The Eclipse Mega Movie Project is a collaboration between Google and UC Berkeley to compile photographs from the public into a film. With all the academic and public projects, August 21st could become the single greatest scientific data collecting day in American history. Jay Pasikoff thought that prediction was at least reasonable.
That's quite possibly true, yes.
The folks that manage California's power grid also stand to learn a lot on the day of the eclipse. The state is home to almost half the solar power in the country. So, as KQED science reporter Lauren Summer explains, even the partial eclipse here means a major dip in the power supply.
Solar power already comes with ups and downs, in the form of clouds, of course. Just ask Jan Kluba of Enphase, a Petaluma company that monitors solar farms around the country day in and day out.
So this was a particular cloudy day.
He pulls up a graph showing the solar output from one California home. In the morning, the sun comes up, power starts flowing. But in the afternoon...
Right, you see the big drop. So there's a cloud coming and going, right? That's why you see the zigzag.
It drops by about a third. But Kluba says if your solar panels are in the path of totality during the eclipse,
it will go all the way to zero.
Effectively, nighttime. California isn't in the path of the full eclipse, but that morning the state will lose 90% of the sun at the northern end, down to 58% in the south. More than enough to cause some anxiety for the people who have to keep California's lights on.
We're doing a lot of coordination and a lot of preparation. It's probably the most work this company has done to prepare for a 3-hour event in our history.
Dean Lyon is a manager at the California Independent System Operator, which runs most of the state's grid. Solar energy has been booming in California. Some days it generates as much as 40% of the state's electricity. The eclipse will mean losing about half of it.
We're also going to see a demand increase from the loss of the rooftop solar, the commercial and residential rooftop solar.
Homes that normally use solar will need the grid instead. That means Lyon will need to fill a power gap for around 6 million homes.
Luckily, we had a really good water year this year. So we'll have, even in August, we're going to have some pretty good flexibility on the hydro.
And what hydropower dams can't make up for, natural gas power plants will. The tricky part is that the sun will disappear and reappear really quickly, which means the grid will have to be managed carefully. Supply always has to meet demand. Otherwise, you get blackouts. Lyon says they're prepared because with renewable energy on the rise, they already deal with power dips every day and have improved forecasting. But the next eclipse in 2024 could be an even bigger challenge when California will have even more solar in the mix.
It'll be a major thing for the people running the grid at that time to manage. It won't be me. I'll be hopefully be retired for several years by then.
This time around, state energy officials are asking Californians to turn off lights and conserve energy next Monday, just to give the grid a little extra help. I'm Lauren Sommer, KQED News.
You're listening to Morning Edition on KQED.
Support for KQED Science is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation.